Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the special edition of Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to welcome back author Nancy Holder. She's going to chat about her new books and Comic-Con. Welcome, Nancy.
Hi, Sherry. Thank you so much for having me back.
Oh, and I love having you. You're such a great guest. It's so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. For the people who haven't heard you on my show, could you give a little bit about yourself and your background?
Absolutely. I have written, my Comic-Con credentials are that I have written a lot of what we call tie-in books, episode guidebooks, novels, short fiction essays about different TV shows and movies, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, Smallville, Teen Wolf, and Beauty and the Beast. I'm going to be writing a book for Chicago Fire. So I also work for a comic book company called Moonstone Books, and we also do pulp fiction. So I edit and I write comic books and graphic novels and pulp fiction. So some of our characters are Kolchak the Night Stalker. I've written about Zorro. I've written a lot about Sherlock Holmes. So I have a lot of different interests, and I'm sure that's how you and I connected, because we're like magpies. We have lots of things we're interested in. And we both share a love of Xena, of course. So
yes, love of Xena. And I think fantasy and old movies and good books and all that. I mean, that's, we both have very much a lot of love for the industries. And I think one of the reasons that it brought us to writing and to the different science fiction conventions, it's a way for us to touch it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When I get a chance to work on something that I love watching, or maybe even, you know, own other books or games or something about, it's just really, really exciting. So I know that we're going to talk about fan fiction on our panel at Comic-Con, and that's something near and dear to my heart. Because I think that tie-in writers like me, we are fanfic writers. And the shows that we work on are shows we're fans of. So it's been really fun getting to know you and talking about all the shows and actors we love. And it's great. So thank you for having me back.
Oh, I love it too. And it's nice to talk to someone who understands what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Because in the real
exact
world,
same way.
You don't run into that.
Right. Exactly.
She was on my first panel with me, and she held my hand, and she was great.
And now we're married.
Yes. And living happily ever after.
That's it.
I know you have a lot of great new projects. So why don't we talk about that, and then we'll talk about Comic-Con.
Okay. Well, the first thing that's coming up soon for me is I'm in an anthology called Beyond the Pale, and my editor is actually on a panel that is competing with ours. So I'm not going to tell you too much about the panel.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's against us. But I will be signing it in San Diego August 3rd at Mysterious Galaxy at 2 p.m. and on August 5th at Yellow Book Road at 7 p.m. And it's called Beyond the Pale. And it's young adult fantasy stories. And then on August 12th, I have an anthology I co-edited with a woman named Erin Underwood. And it's a young adult anthology of science fiction short stories. We have some amazing YA names, including that I know most people won't have ever heard of him, poor thing, but his name is Neil Gaiman. And we have Neil, we have Scott Westerfeld. We have a lot of very well-known young adult science fiction, or young adult writers who are also writing science fiction. And then I'm starting in September, I believe it's September, yes, my very first Beauty and the Beast book will come out. And that's based on the brand, well, two seasons in now, show Beauty and the Beast, starring Kristen Coit and Jay Ryan. It's shot in Canada, and it's on the CW. And it's an awesome show. Yeah, I'm very excited about it. Yeah, very happy. And then after that, it's great. It has struggled to find those of us who watch the show are absolutely devoted to it. When Beauty and the Beast is on and we tweet, we trend. And Beauty and the Beast has incredibly loyal families and ardent fans. So I'm very excited because there was some question about if they were going to get a third season, and we're the Beasties, and I think the Beasties helped keep it on the air. Although I think, you know, it's the show is great, but I think Beauty and the Beast also is very popular overseas. And so thank goodness, because I will have so far written 3 novels tied into the show. I'm working on novel number 2 right now. And it was a dream come true when they said, okay, we liked your first one, would you write 2 more? And I'm like, yes. And that's what makes a fan. You know, I'm a true fan. So I'm just thrilled and very,
that
very
is
happy.
Amazing. Jeez.
Yeah, it's really awesome. So when Buffy went off the air, Buffy the Vampire Slayer went off the air, I was very, very, very mournful. And I thought, well, that's it. But I also have another Buffy project coming out in about a year, but I'm not sure when it's coming out, and they're still working on the title and everything. But it's funny, like all these years later, I think, okay, well, there's probably no more Buffy, and then there'll be another Buffy thing. And I was sending tiny pictures of, you know, contact sheets of pictures to my fellow super fans saying, what vampire is this?
That sounds fun. Nance? Nancy? Okay, she's back.
Can you
hello?
Hear me?
No, you cut off.
How weird. I'm sorry. I'm sitting next to a window trying to stay here. Anyway, it was just funny that I sent these sheets of vampires and demons that I could not quite figure out, you know, and people were like, okay, that's 2 minutes and 12 seconds into episode X. And that's this vampire Riley passes on the stairs when he goes, and you're like, oh, right, okay, yeah, I see it. But it was amazing to me that is why that is the level of devotion that people who are fans of shows continue to have even after Buffy's been off the air for like 16 years. So,
yeah,
I'm really thrilled to still be working on Buffy.
I think that's part of fandom. I mean, look at Xena, look at Star Trek. I mean, especially Star Trek. I mean, there's still groundbreaking, loving, original Star Trek fans out there.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Well,
on top of that, a lot of fans have found out how to keep their fandoms going, and a huge tip of the hat to the California Browncoats and all Browncoats. As usual, the California Browncoats will have a booth at Comic-Con. I'm going to be signing in the booth, and other authors will be signing the booth. We just bring books for free. We sign them if you'll give a donation to the charity that the Browncoats are sponsoring that year. It's usually Equality Now, which is Joss's favorite charity, or the charity of another actor such as Nathan Fillion's Kids Need to Read. And they sell merchandise that is specially commissioned just for the Browncoats that you can only get at Comic-Con from the Browncoats. And they go to so many conventions. They'll be at the Long Beach Comic-Con. And so I consider myself a Browncoat. And just so you know, you guys, if you're interested in the Browncoats, they even have a special day where they go to Disneyland together. So the Browncoats have kept together. You know, there's not a lot of Firefly to watch. So the way that the fandom has perpetuated the Browncoat lifestyle is to do all these amazing fan charity-based conventions. And Marcia Powers does a lot of fandom conventions up in Los Angeles, or events to raise money for Make-A-Wish. And Slayer Lit does the Slay-A-Thon in Chicago, and where they watch Buffy episodes for money. And they've gotten amazing donations from actors, directors, producers for their silent auctions and to make money for different charities. And I think that is one of the most amazing things about fandom is, you know, love of something brought them together, and that amount of love is still there.
And it's all fandom. It's all a fandom. Everybody that I know, even if I'm not a part of that fandom, they are always giving to charity. It is a very loving group. They care.
Right.
There's not a lot you can say about a lot of the world, but one thing, fandom cares. They've given millions of dollars to different charities.
Absolutely.
So that's something to be proud of.
I agree. And I am. And you just see those, you know, fans and actors coming by the booth to make appearances, whatever they need to do. Back when Buffy was on, they had posting board parties in Los Angeles for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they were just, they worked so hard, and those parties were so amazing. And Joss and all the actors would come, the different bands would play, you know, Darling Violetta would come, and Four Star Mary, and it was just amazing. And they still, your fandom is still doing it. So all these years later.
To be proud, like I said.
Very proud.
We are going to be on a panel together, and it's
yes.
about fan fiction. And I have news that I got this morning that we have gone beyond the capacity of the room of people who have signed up ahead of time for the show. Yeah, I'm like stunned. My
that
little
awesome.
Idea that could, like the train, it exploded.
Well, Sherry, you have the Midas touch. You are the woman, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, wow.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. But, you know, I think that just speaks to the passion that people who write fan fiction have for their different projects and their different stories and books and whatever they're doing, movies, whatever they have that they want to share and talk about. And also that people are interested in getting a way into professional work. And so I think it's going to be an awesome panel.
That's another thing that was the reason I thought it would be an interesting idea, because I know that there are other fan fiction panels, but to have that slant about, because there's a lot of fan fiction writers who have now become professional, who have written books, who have screenplays, who have done acting, who is, I mean, everything you can think of, they have crossed the path and they're doing other stuff and they're working and getting money for it. And I think that's something that should be talked about.
I do too. In fact, I started out, I was already writing, but I was writing fan fiction. I'll show my age. I was writing for a show called Robin of Sherwood. And
I remember that.
Those friends of mine from Robin of Sherwood, there's a convention in L.A. called Gallifrey One, and it's Doctor Who, but it is other fandoms too, other things. And we still get together, and they're, you know, they're directors, they're writing episodes for other shows, they're art directors, and we all wrote Robin of Sherwood fan fiction back in the day, and they were my editors. And I still, it's funny because when we meet up, I'm still kind of deferential, like, hello. And it's been a long time, but they are still my editor. So it's really exciting to sort of have grown up together and see, oh, we're still around. And not only are we around, but, you know, now sometimes we get to hire people. So it's really, really cool. And, yes, there are many very highly placed people in the books and entertainment who did start out writing fan fiction.
I think that one of the reasons I worked really hard to balance the panel, like some people don't write fan fiction, but they, you know, they're writers in different parts of the industry, and there's people who write fan fiction on. I made sure it was balanced so everybody could have a say of what they think of it. One of the things I find interesting is how kind the people in the industry are that people write fan fiction. I mean, that they actually like it and enjoy it. I know that some of the stars from the different shows actually read it. I mean, you know what a big shock it was for me when Andy Cohen started having people reading different fan fiction on Watch What Happens Live? I mean, wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the olden days,
we were
when
weird.
The internet was first, when the internet was first coming into its own where normal people use the internet, it wasn't like some strange thing that you had to be initiated into. This is called the internet. There was a lot of anxiety among networks and people who put shows on the air about, did they have to not allow fanfic? Would that hurt their trademarks and copyrights? So there was nervousness about, can we even acknowledge this? So even if they weren't responding overtly, most of them were at least appreciative that there was fan fiction, because also, and I can understand this, sometimes they were nervous, like if they read somebody's fan fiction and it happened to match what was going to happen on an episode, say in 8 months, the fan fiction writer might say, well, you stole my idea. So there was a lot of nervousness about, can we even know, officially know? But now, you know, different shows, like I wrote a book for Teen Wolf, and Teen Wolf had a fanfic contest, and you know, right out in the open, and a lot of shows are doing things like that now. So I think it's really exciting that they can acknowledge it. Whereas before they were nervous, like they wanted to, but they were afraid they would get in trouble. And I know that when I was working on Buffy, I would go to the Buffy production offices, and they would have walls of fan letters and fan art, all very carefully arranged with great respect and thanks that the fans were sending them pieces. And they were just really thrilled that they were worth, that were being noticed.
That's one of the things that I found really different. There was that many generations between, but when I started writing fan fiction, I don't know if you remember this, but when I started writing fan fiction, you wrote it and you sent it in a letter form in snail mail, and then you waited for them to send it back, yes or no, and then you got the book as an exchange for it, and then you go to conventions and you sell the book.
Right.
It was a different world. I mean,
it was.
People don't realize fan fiction goes way, way back. My father wrote fan fiction in the 40s for science fiction movies. I mean, it's not a new phenomenon. Yeah, he did.
No,
when I started writing Star Trek, he goes, oh, this reminds me of when I was a kid. And I looked at him, really?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been around. It's not new. It's not a new phenomenon.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
Bigger and easier because of the internet.
Right, exactly.
But I just think it's like Rob Talbert and Sam Raimi, they not only acknowledged it, they flaunted it on the show.
Right.
There was there were things about subtext, and they even had an episode with fans in them.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that now where you can get a walk-on part for a charity event, or when Buffy was on, they had a special chat room just for Buffy fans called the Bronze, and they would come in, like the directors or Joss would come in and say, okay, and next episode, about 2 minutes in, look at the whiteboard behind the actors, and they'd have a little note like, hi you guys. And it was for the fans. And, you know, there was a woman whose her chat room name was Polgara, and they named the Polgara demon after that name. So it's
really fun to
see how they would go back and forth. Oh, and then just as an aside, I met the woman, Wolfram and Hart on Angel. Her last name is Wolfram, and Joss took her name. He's because she went in for a job interview, and he said, can I use your name on my show? And she said, yes. So there's a lot of cross-pollination and acknowledgement, I guess I should say, you know?
Exactly. One of our fellow panelists, Melissa Good, hi, Missy.
Mm-hmm.
she actually wrote two episodes. She was picked by the people that run Xena, and she picked actually wrote two episodes on the sixth season of Xena. I mean, can you get
that
a bigger thing for a fan fiction writer than to write episodes of your favorite show?
Oh, absolutely. That is so cool.
Yeah. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like, I think it was shocking. I remember her talking about it. She'll talk about it during the panel.
Yeah,
but,
that'd be really good. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, really cool. You have another panel. I saw it on the schedule. You want to tell them about it?
Well, actually, I have two. And the same on Thursday, I have a world-building panel. And I'm very excited about it. I'm with some great friends of mine, Jeannie Koch and Nathan Long and some other people. And Sherry, I'm so embarrassed because right now I'm so brain dead. I believe that it is at 7 to 8. And then on Friday,
I think that was what it says.
7 to 8. Do you happen to know what room it's in?
No, because I don't have it
okay.
up on my screen,
right.
and I'm
yeah,
don't want
I'm,
to lose
I'm
it
sorry.
You again.
But also on Friday at 6, the International Association of Media Tie-In Writers, which is, you know, what fan fiction writers become when they get paid for it, is we're having our annual Scribe Awards. We give them at Comic-Con. I'll be on a big panel with Jonathan Mayberry and a whole bunch of other writers who write tie-ins, and then we'll have our award ceremony after that.
When is that? Because I want to go.
You know what? While we're talking, I'll look it up. I'm sorry that I don't have this all prepared to tell you. It is on Friday at 6, and
in
6 o'clock. And while you're talking to me, I'll look it up.
That's cool.
Yeah, it'll be really cool, and our awards are really nice. They're stars. And we call ourselves the scribes because we feel that that's our job. We are the scribes of the show. And I think that's one of the main differences between fanfic and, quote, tie-in writing, because we have to answer to the show. We have to do what the show wants, or the director, or not the director, but the producers and our book publishing companies, whereas the fanfic writer has more freedom. And
mm-hmm.
you can just pretty much,
you can
do
anything.
Xena and Buffy can go on an adventure, whereas a person who is a tie-in writer on a project that they're being paid for, there are all these very complicated licenses, and there are certain things you can and cannot do. And, for example, you could never kill off a main character, and you couldn't mash. We even had to have special attention to when was Buffy present in an Angel book and when was Angel present in a Buffy book. It was very carefully monitored because of the amount of money that the publishers had to pay for the right to publish the books in the first place. So it was very different.
And yet one of the fun things to write is a crossover story. I've written several.
Exactly.
They're so much fun.
Right. But we who are writing tie-ins, or I would be told, excuse me, you can't write about that because it's going to be on the show. Or,
oh,
no, we can't go that way. We can't tell you why. And we go, okay, whatever you want. You know, it's whatever they want.
You're the boss.
So, in a way, it's almost like you're a staff writer in an interesting way where you're writing prose. But you definitely have to respond to the wishes of the show. And so in that way, professional tie-in writing is a lot more restrictive than fanfic writing.
Yeah, I read one of your books. It was such a cool book. I love your stuff.
Thank you.
You're so talented.
Oh, gosh. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
We don't have a lot of time.
Excuse me, just 1 minute. The International Association of Media Tie-In Writers Scribe Awards are from 6 to 7 in room 23 ABC.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody
okay.
knows
now
that.
Now I can relax.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, can you tell us about your new novel?
My Beauty and the Beast book?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, wow. I'm very, very excited about it. I just love working on this show. I got the scripts ahead of time, and I knew some stuff that was going to happen. I was just bursting. But, of course, I did not reveal. In my story, the main character, Kat, is paired up with her partner. She's a police detective named Tess. And meanwhile, the Beast, who is named, who is played by Jay Ryan, he has to be very quiet and cautious in town. His name is Vincent Keller, because there's a manhunt after him. So they're trying to solve some mysteries while there's a manhunt on for Vincent. And Kat's father, who was responsible for the entire government program that created the Beast, has escaped from prison. And so he's on the lam, and Catherine has a very, very complicated relationship. He's her biological father. She did not know he was until much was revealed. And so meanwhile, a kid has been the son of the most prominent crime family in New York has been kidnapped and is being held for ransom. And the plot lines dovetail. But I have to say, the show was so beautifully written that it was as easy to write as it was to write for Buffy or Teen Wolf, because those characters are so well done by the writers. They're so well thought through that it was just effortless. And I'm so happy that I have two more books. It's called Vendetta, and it's coming out on September 28th, I believe.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Everybody write that down in the date.
Thank you. Vendetta, Beauty and the Beast. And I'm really excited about it. So
it felt
kind of like, good, I'm back in the saddle. Huh?
Yay!
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to know, other than Comic-Con, do you have any events coming up that you want anybody to come running?
Yeah. Well, I do have those two book signings on August 3rd at Mysterious Galaxy on Claremont Mesa Boulevard in San Diego. At 2 o'clock, I'll be there with my editor, Henry Hertz, and we'll be signing Beyond the Pale. And then on August 5th, I'm looking in my head, it's August 5th at 7 o'clock. We'll be at Yellow Book Road in Liberty Station, and we'll be signing Beyond the Pale to Henry and me. The nice thing is that Henry will be getting some Comic-Con signatures from other contributors, and I'm pretty sure that he's going to have Jim Butcher's signature in the copies that we will be selling. Jim Butcher, of course, is Harry Dresden, the Dresden Files. So there'll be some really prominent people signing the anthology. If people come to our signings, I believe they will be pre-signed by those people.
Wow.
So I'm really
excited
about
it.
Beautiful cover. Yeah. And, life will go on. I'm also going to be with my beloved horror writers. I'm a member of the Horror Writers Association of Los Angeles. And we'll be doing a big horror event in Pasadena. And I believe that's September 4th or October 4th, but I'll put the information on my website. And Long Beach Comic Con I will be at the weekend of September 27th and 28th, as well as the H.P. Lovecraft and Cthulhu Con Film Festival in San Pedro. So I'll be all over the place, but I'm a good California girl, even though I'm talking to you today from Maine.
Yes, and freezing.
But, there's so much to do and see in California. We're always doing stuff. So
yep.
I probably won't be with them, but on August 8th and 9th, the Horror Writers Association of Los Angeles will be at Scare LA, which is a big convention for people who like to look at stuff like how to build a haunted house or a dark ride or do horror makeup. It's like a horror expo, and the Horror Writers LA will have a booth there.
That's exciting.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Nance. I want to let everybody know that on Sunday, the rest of the panel for Comic-Con is going to be on Chatting with Sherry at 6 p.m. Please tune in. You too, Nancy.
Yes, ma'am.
She can't be here because she's teaching.
I'm teaching at the Stone Coast MFA in Creative Writing program offered to the University of Southern Maine. It's a low residency program. And we have students who come from all over, everywhere. to come to Maine twice a year. We do all our workshops and presentations together. Then we work with each other one-on-one through the mail for the semester. So we're all gathered here in Maine to do this, and then I'll fly home, and then I'll go to Comic-Con.
Yay!
Yay.
Thank you, Nancy. I really
Thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much,
Believe
Jerry.
It or not, the time is by.
Okay. Well, I'll see you at Comic-Con.
Yep, I will see you there. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Thank you, Sherry. Bye.
And thank you. Bye-bye. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.